Although Nauru, a population of 10,000, is so small that it does not have an official capital, some of the world's biggest problems can be found within its 21 square kilometers. Climate change, youth unemployment, obesity and diabetes are just some of the challenges facing the country, one of the smallest in the world, says Amina Mohammed, the UN Secretary General Special Advisor on Post-2015 Development Planning. Ms. Mohammed has just returned from Nauru. She tells UN Radio's Don Bob that the country's government is ready to engage in the debate to devise a global agenda to succeed the Millennium Development Goals.
Well, they've clearly been very engaged in it, and I think the climate change agenda is one of their top priorities. But this is a country that's going through its economic recovery, and so the development agenda is really important to it. So one saw from the social side a number of investments that they had made more recently, which on the face of it, of course, you know, incredibly important in education, for instance. But then to see the results of those investments, and I'll take education for an example where a lot had gone into providing better facilities, teachers with adequate training, the inputs in the classrooms, to find where there was 100% enrollment and yet attendance had only remained at 31%. So underlying social issues that have caused this, and that really has to do with the economic recovery, with the inability for them to provide jobs for young people. But I think of a sort of probably deeper nature that even if you finish school, what is there to do? And I think that that for us was a big sort of eye-opener to the kind of challenges that a small nation state like that faces. I think it is going to be the litmus test for what we do on the Sustainable Development Agenda, seeing it as the smallest member of this large family and the attention we give to it when we say we leave no one behind.
Against the background of all these challenges that they face, what are the chances of Nauru basically meeting some of the Millennium Development Goals that would make it easier for them to transition to the post-2015 Sustainable Development Goals?
I think the interesting thing about it is with the MDGs, they probably will achieve that they get everyone into school. Finishing a complete cycle of primary education is one place that they've been successful, where we saw the attrition rates in education were actually secondary, higher education. And the health goals that they have, again, you know, they've done pretty well on maternal mortality and child mortality, really is the other non-communicable diseases, which we talk about in the next agenda. So I think they probably stand a fairly good chance on the MDGs, and particularly if we put the effort in this last 700 or so days and we target more the resources that come their way, probably lay a pretty good foundation. But I think we see how the MDGs are inadequate for them to really get to a place where you can say everyone has a life of dignity. Mm-hmm. Needing to put in the resources and the focus on livelihoods and form the ocean around them, given that it has suffered from ocean acidification and there are big issues around commercial fishing and so on and so forth.
You also went to Australia. Australia is the big guy, so to speak, in the Pacific among all those small island developing states. Is it playing any role in helping these countries move forward in their development?
It has done, and certainly when I visited Nauru, you could see the aid and the support that they get largely from Australia. I think we should be watching and encouraging Australia to step up that role and to provide much more support, given, as I said, the bigger agenda that we have. But these are early days yet in the new administration's term, and so I think that it was timely to be there to see that they have started restructuring some of their foreign policy thrust and to continue to engage with them to make sure that the door is open to lifting the ambition of the support they need to give to the many island states there.
How would you describe your visit? Successful?
Yes, I think so. I think I took a lot away for really reinforcing, the Secretary General always says, it is how the attention that we pay to the smallest member of the family that will really determine the credibility, integrity, which we want to, you know, give everyone a life of dignity. But I think that visiting Australia at this time and having the opportunity to look at new actors like the Red Cross in development is what I came away from feeling confident that while we have many challenges to address as we go through the intergovernmental process, that more and more you can see that there is engagement. It's up to us to really push those boundaries and keep the momentum and the ambition to fulfill the contours that the Secretary General's report, A Life of Dignity for All, gives.
There's a major small island developing state conference next year. Would that conference in any way help those countries that are basically struggling, for instance, Nauru?
Yes, I think so. This is a conference that is going to put them on the front burner, the international stage. I think most people are probably not aware of some of the challenges up front. I know that the Secretary General is very much looking forward to having that. Again, it's an indication of the role that this agenda needs to play as a universal one to ensure that the small island developing states' place is prominent in it and that their issues are addressed.